Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here and there and everywhere, it seems like, by golly. But, just this daylight saving time just messes me up, especially when you get up as early as I do. And then we don't have you get up even at 6 o'clock or 5:30 on a Saturday morning, and it's still dark until... I'm sorry, I don't like it. I need to lobby sleep specialists, and you have one in the family, a physician sleep specialist. He's going to tell you that Gerald Adams, that standard time is the best time.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. So I'm all for that. I don't need to sit around the pool and drink during the late afternoon until 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. That's why people want it. That's it. That's the whole secret. They want to sit around and drink, sit by the pool, sit out in the backyard until 9 o'clock. Isn't that right?
You don't agree? Eastern Standard Time when I was a boy, and it worked just fine.
You know, I can remember in 1957 or 58, somewhere in there, riding with my mother and father and sister to New York, and New York was in a different time zone. They were an hour behind us, I believe, hour behind us. So I think they had daylight saving time there. And other states did too, but North Carolina did not at the time until it was standardized away from standard time.
And what do you mean by standardized? Yeah.
I don't know. It's at any rate, I think my body is acclimatized. Standardized now, so to daylight saving time. So I hope you're awake. I hope we didn't wake you up too harshly there. I should have come on with something a little more pleasant than the time that it's early, but it's not early now. 8:09. Of course, it'd be would be 7:09.
Well, for the people that work and don't get off that early, at least it gives them a little extra time to get in the garden.
Oh, so that's true. And they can drink, too.
What benefit? Maybe they're drinking in the garden instead of beside the pool.
Didn't it have something? I think it was mainly during World War I when all of this started. But I think maybe it has helped the farmers. I hope it has. To some extent.
Well, they like to blame it on the farmers. I don't believe that.
No, I think it was World War I when all of this, so trying to save a little money here and there. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. We will be out on the road starting next week except for one Saturday, I think, almost through the end of May. And and it's also a sad day because this is Gerald's last day until
June.
Maybe what he'll be doing.
Can anybody guess?
Yeah, what you'll be doing?
Barn a catastrophe. Next Friday, I will be set up at the farmer's market, and I'll be there every day, 7 days a week, till at least Memorial Day.
And Henry.
Well, Henry's mostly a show up on Saturday kind of guy.
So you'll sell until you run out?
Yeah, and it won't be before then. So I put up another greenhouse, so I'm growing about 25% more than I did last year. So wide open.
What are you growing? A lot of tomatoes and what else?
I am. I've added herbs this year. So I think last time I looked, it was between 60 and 70 different herbs that I'm growing this year as well. And then I've added a few more peppers. I think I'll be up to 100 varieties of more peppers this year.
How did you learn all this, Gerald?
I like to tell people.
Did your daddy teach you how to do all this?
Well, no, but he did teach me how to grow. You know, I grew up on a tobacco farm.
Yeah.
And if for people that don't know, and, you know, you don't hardly see that much tobacco anymore. Most of those fields are growing houses now.
Yeah.
The triangle area.
That's right.
But the tobacco, which is in the Nicotiana family, if you see that growing wild, it's, you know, it's 3 foot tall. Well, that tobacco, to make any money, you sell it by poundage, so you have to blow the plant up to a 6-7 foot tall plant, and it takes all kinds of, it takes really good growing practices to make a, you know, financial feasible tobacco crop. And I learned how to do all that, and that applies to almost anything else that you would grow. And I learned a lot of it against my will.
Oh, yeah.
It was do it or else, and failure was not a good option.
Wow. Okay. So you had to learn it.
Well, and then my grandmother, too. She, Lila Adams, may have had the first pick-your-own vegetable garden in eastern Wake County all the way back in the early 60s.
Uh-huh.
But she was so, we say particular, that she'd be picked everything before the people got there. It'd come out of the city folks from Raleigh would come out on Saturday to get some vegetables, and she wouldn't turn just anybody loose in that vegetable garden. She had two pretty sizable ones on her farm there. She'd be up at 4 o'clock in the morning picking everything before they got there and have it in baskets out at the end of the road.
Wow, so hard working.
Yeah,
you had a lot of hard working folks in your family.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't think a whole lot about it because that's just how it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you call that involuntary servitude. Mine was burley tobacco. Along about 1st of May, we'd go to, for some reason, the tobacco, burley tobacco beds were over in Tennessee. You'd go get your plants over there, then get them in the ground about May 1, and then it really started, as you know, about tobacco. You got all kinds of things to do as they come along, sucker it. So if you're any good at all, you had a black tar hand for the rest of the summer. And then you folks had to do all that flu-cured stuff. Well, we let the sun cure out, cut it, let it stand in the field for about a week, then carry it and hang it up. And then Thanksgiving time would always be the grading time, tobacco grading. You'd have lugs, bright, long red, short red, tips. And I remember Gerald and my grandmother used to tie tobacco hands, and she wanted to make them perfect, just perfect. We never told her that what they did with those baskets was they got in on the tobacco field and they picked them up and dumped them all in one big pot. But she said if you make them pretty, they'll bring more money.
Huh.
Well, it didn't work out, but Grandma believed that.
And nobody was going to argue or tell her different.
No, not Grandma Nan.
And that's why you got your love and skills for your landscape and gardening.
Well, I got mine from Mama.
Yeah.
Because I would beg her to, as I've said before on this program, let me stay and help you, Mama, with the flower garden.
So you could get out of working with Burley.
I could get out of going down to the bottom land with the other three older boys. And that was Mama's pet.
Yeah. My grandmother Adams loved flowers, and she had them everywhere. And I thought it was just her love of them that she had them planted all throughout the vegetable garden. But as I got a little older, maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, she explained to me that, you know, she planted this one because it attracted this bug, which got this bad bug or caterpillar or whatever.
She was a scientist.
So she was doing that way, you know, when I was a little bitty kid on there. And mm-hmm. She said, yes, it is nice. They're pretty, and I can cut them and take them into the house, too, but I've got them planted all.
Mm-hmm. What kind of flowers did she plant? I mean, she
She had around the house. She had irises everywhere.
I was thinking irises.
Everywhere around that. But she'd plant all kinds of stuff out there, and a lot of it would be summer blooming annuals. Marigolds was something that she had planted all around there. And as I find out when I get older, marigolds secrete a chemical that runs nematodes away. And that's still a good something to plant if you've got a raised bed and where you may have, you know, had some issues with that in the past. A lot of stuff like that, you know, I was learning about before I even knew the technical terms for it.
So if you plant a raised bed, where do you plant the marigolds?
Well, you'd plant them anywhere throughout the bed. Just say you're planting peppers or tomatoes. Well, you know, those plants get pretty tall and you've got to space them, you know, 2 foot apart. You would plant them around the borders or edges. You do want them where they will bloom, so you can't get them too shaded out as the, you know, pepper or tomato plants or eggplant or anything like that. So anywhere in the bed usually will work good, because most people that have a raised bed, they really shouldn't be more than 4 foot wide, because if you get a raised bed wider than that, you can't reach the middle from either side, and then you have to climb into bed, and now you're packing the soil down, which defeats one of the, you know, biggest benefits of having a raised bed.
Right.
But yeah, that still to this day works. You know, if you ask, trying to find an organic way of doing something about that, still may be the number one thing that you can do.
Does salvia have any benefit, like warding off?
Well, you've got
warding off spirits.
The real dark salvia.
Anything that has a tubular bloom, which salvia does, is going to attract hummingbirds, and in particular may attract dragonflies. And dragonflies are they eat up all kinds of, you know, aphids and whiteflies and thrips and other things like that. So anything that gets them into your garden is always a big plus. Pineapple sage is something that I used to plant a lot at the governor's mansion.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful
great scent.
Beautiful bloom and smell, and it was also would draw a lot of your good insects to the garden.
Better turn my mic back on. Is that something that you're growing now?
I just so happen to be growing some.
Good.
I sure am.
Pineapple sage.
When I was looking at all the different salvias, I thought, and ironically, that one's it's a little hard to find the seed for it, and it was I was a little surprised at the difficulty I had in getting where I could grow it this year.
What color is that bloom, man?
It's a reddish bloom.
Right. What's that one called? It's very, very dark, almost black purple. I love that one.
I can't think of the name.
I
don't know.
Anyway, while you're thinking, what is the best size pot for people? I was asked the other day for people to use for tomatoes. What size pot?
Depends on the type tomato plant. If you're growing a conventional tomato plant that can get 6 foot plus tall in size, I use 25-gallon nursery pots. I think a 20-gallon is probably okay. If you're using a dwarf plant, which is going to get 4 foot tall, a 7-gallon will work. I use 10 gallons for them, because once it ever gets that pot full of roots, put stress on the plant, makes it easier for disease to get it, and plus it may cause it to quit blooming. No blooms, no fruit, no good.
So on larger.
Yes. I see people all the time, they put them in a 3-gallon pot, a 5-gallon pot, and that's just, you'll get a few tomatoes, and then that's all over with.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. That's kind of the way the show works. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. I'm Mike Raley, and Brother Rufus Edmonston needs no introduction. Everybody knows his voice. Gerald Adams has been on the show for how long have you been on the show? It's like, when did we go out to the governor's mansion?
That was the 25th anniversary show. We did it at the governor's mansion.
25th.
I believe that's correct.
Okay, so that was like 2010, 2011, 2012,
something like that. I know Purdue was governor when y'all did it. And
how about that? And then we've are past our 40th now. So how about that? Yeah, that was I can vividly remember that day sitting out on the south porch. I don't know if that has a specific name. Faces toward the south mm-hmm. there, the governor's mansion.
You know what I thought was funny about it? I had came in Mike Easley's third year. So he obviously ran for re-election and won. And I will never forget one day Andy Griffith came and did they shot an ad for the governor to use in his camp. And they did it on that south porch there. And I'm telling you, they did. It was the you know, in my mind, I'm thinking they're going to be here all day long and they'll shoot it. And they did that fastest and quickest of anything I've ever. It was unreal.
He
came in the night before and stayed at the guest house across the street, and they knocked that thing out in like no time. It was unreal. I'm kind of peeping through the bushes looking at them to see.
So Andy Griffith stayed at the guest house and not at the mansion?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. But they sure did. They had to stay right across the street.
Frankly, most people do because that, as Gerald knows, that upstairs is not very private.
No, it's wide open.
Wide open.
Oh, okay. Well, that certainly makes sense. Well, we were certainly honored to be there on a couple of occasions. So who knows? Maybe we'll go back sometime.
I've mentioned it to Governor Stein and asked him if his wife Leah is a gardener. He said, "Well, not really." I said, "Well, we will help make her one."
Well, we could do that. And I know that most governors, I guess Governor Scott and Governor Perdue, mm-hmm. were. I don't know about Scott. Scott was a farmer, but I don't know if he delved into. To the lawns and the gardens like that, but he certainly knew about a garden.
He probably thought that was too cultured.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't in line with the Chitlins.
Oh, you're talking about his daddy. I was thinking about Bob Scott. You know, all the mess, all the pollen that is about to hit us. Boy, that's going to be rough on a lot of different parts of your car. Believe it or not, all those air filters. So you need to keep that in mind. You need to, as you're driving down the road this morning, think about the brakes. How do they work? The windshield wipers. Have you had the hoses and belts checked lately? Just any number of things. Have you had the oil change? Just such a basic thing that mechanics, the really good mechanics, just preach that. Get your oil changed. Don't miss that. And you can have all of this done and a whole lot more, virtually anything for your vehicle, at King's Auto Service. Get you a springtime checkup, if you will, and get a lot of that checked. Make sure the AC is working we're going to get hot weather. We're going to get some pretty warm weather today, actually, at least into the mid to upper 70s. So, for those of you driving some of those hybrid vehicles, they got you covered there, too. They have certified hybrid technicians at King's that are ready to diagnose and give you available options for high-voltage battery pack replacement. And they can be quite expensive. So you want to pay a little less? Go to King's Auto Service. They can get you a battery pack for less. And this could occur, 150,000 miles or more. Call King's Auto Service on Monday and get a courtesy battery analysis. Get that 12-volt battery checked, too, because they really don't last as long as they used to because there's so many electronics in cars now. Call King's and get all of that done. They are at 1039 North West Street in downtown Raleigh and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. We shall return. It's 8:25 on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back. Discombobulated this morning here. Maybe I better eat this. What is this? It's not a tangerine. What are these? Mandarin orange. I don't know. This is a tiny one. You've already eaten yours.
It peels like a tangerine.
Yeah, Shay in the newsroom gave them to us. So I have spilled something. Must be. You just can't.
You can't go anywhere.
I can't go anywhere without spilling something. So I need to wear a bib or or something everywhere I go. And
next time you're at Red Lobster, grab a couple of those bibs.
Plastic. It's plastic things for the lobsters. All right, Richard. Richard is with. Is it Richard first or Rob first? All right, Richard, hold. Well, go ahead and start talking. We only got about a minute, and we'll put you on hold. But how are you doing this morning, sir?
Pretty well overall. I was just going to caution about the shovel buzzards.
Oh, well, I've known some shovel buzzards in my lifetime, yeah.
Well, what the shovel buzzard is the impatient gardener who... Well, you know how buzzards circle the road port first? Well, shovel buzzards circle the garden waiting to plant the tomatoes prematurely.
I'm glad you got one in here before we go to break, Richard. We'll be back on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmonston and Gerald Adams. And Richard is back with us. We're one joke into Richard's call here. So what else you got there, Richard?
Something about buzzards.
Buzzards.
And thankfully, Gerald is protecting us from the shovel buzzards by having the delayed sales to... Because you don't want to plant prematurely because of the frost. There's a book called Close to Home by Thor Hansen, who also wrote Triumph of Seeds. It's the wonders of nature just outside your door. And, if Charles Darwin, after all his travels, just wanted to go back home and... spend the rest of his life within the confines of his yard and his home. So it's not unlike some gardeners, but his data collection methods were unusual. He found that he recruited kids, like some other scientists did, to study entomology. The kids would go out in the yard and the garden and find all the little critters that were at their level, because adults just don't see them.
Right.
And that's probably also another reason why this show is blessed with people with agrarian backgrounds. Before mechanical harvesting, people had to be right there down on the earth to make observations and connect things.
So, well, I was down on the earth. I messed up every piece of clothing I had.
And way more connected than I wanted to be priming tobacco.
Can you imagine growing up next door to Charles Darwin? Golly. It's unfathomable.
I think there are buzzards who are smarter than people. I was driving between Kinston and Newbern. And the buzzards have learned to pull the road pork off the
off
shoulder.
The highway.
And now you see people stepping into traffic with their hand in with their cell phones, totally oblivious.
Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I ask people, who's smarter, the app or what's smarter, the app or the ape?
AI.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lord AI. Ape.
Well, you know, one time I have to let you know this, Richard. When I was working with Senator Ervin, long before Watergate, we were holding a hearing, and they had a computer in the Senate office building about as big as this room is. And he said, well, you know, one of these days they're going to keep on to the Alexa computer. With AI, we've about done that now. Mm-hmm. We have about done what Senator Ervin predicted 50 years ago.
Wow. Well,
and another prophet was Arthur C. Clarke with 2001 A Space Odyssey, where Hal murdered astronauts and took over the spaceship by reading lips.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They can certainly do that now.
But back when I was going to see, I knew I'd been out too long when I started to hear Al going, "I'm going, Dave. I'm going." Anyway, I look forward to seeing everybody at the farmer's market.
We'll be there. We'll be there the 29th. Gerald will be there
next weekend.
Next weekend until the end of May.
Richard, I think I saw that you're going to come visit me one of these days real soon.
Oh, yeah. Thursday, 2:30.
Wonderful. I'll give you the Watergate tour.
Oh, okay.
That's fantastic.
You're a man of history?
Absolutely. There's a lot of history in that office, that building. Yes, there is.
Yeah, I walked by it one time on the way to Blues Alley in Georgetown. Now, getting back was a different matter because we mediated and got lost. I think it was Roosevelt Park or something like that. The police officer came up to us and said, "You know, this is a dangerous place to be at night." And we thought, "Can't you at least give us a ride out of here?"
Yeah.
He didn't think that was funny, did he?
No, he probably didn't. He had seen it all that night anyway. Richard, thank you.
All right. Well, y'all have a great one, and thanks for being there for us.
All right.
Great.
Thank you very much for calling.
All right.
All right. Rob is with us. Rob, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I have a little bit of news to report. The Big Jim's on Highway 97, which I'm sure Mike probably knows where it is, on the other side of Rocky Mountain, they're selling peanuts again.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Including the chocolate peanuts.
Do they have boiled peanuts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have them. That's their specialty.
Yeah.
I was on my way to Scotland Neck, and I stopped at the Tractor Supply place there. I haven't seen a dust storm warning sign in a long time.
Okay. Well, it's kind of random, isn't it, for around here?
Well, the reason is... they don't over-groom the ground anymore. They leave, like, clover. They'll just turn it over and
right,
then
no
throw
tail.
The corn out on top of it.
Right.
And it eliminated the dust storms.
Huh.
How about that? Yeah, that no-till, we lost a lot of topsoil with earlier methods, and I think they've got that pretty much down pat now. How about that?
Yeah. Used to make things exciting, and now it's just another ride.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, thank you ever so much.
Thank you very much, Rob. Always nice hearing from you.
All right. We'll see you.
Take care. Go eat some boiled peanuts this morning. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here at WPTF is 8:41. Excuse me, we're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Gerald Adams and my friend Rufus Edmonston. Well, Gerald's my friend, too. But at any rate, you know, like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, I Must Garden is with you. And it's that time of year when hungry deer and rabbits visit our gardens looking to eat tender new growth. Wouldn't it be nice to see your garden flourish? Free from nibbled leaves and tampered flowers. With I Must Garden deer and rabbit repellents, you can make that a reality. I Must Garden repellents are made from natural ingredients, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution for your plants, the environment, and you. The repellents are gentle on your garden, but tough on deer and rabbits, sending them elsewhere to eat. iMos Garden deer repellent is long-lasting, too. And you don't have to reapply after every rainfall. iMos Garden provides protection that stands the test of time, so you can, you know, you can really spend more time enjoying the garden and less time worrying about deer and rabbits. You'll find iMos Garden repellents at independent garden centers and hardware stores all around the Triangle area, including southern states and Carrboro and Garden Supply and Cary. Protect your garden today with iMos Garden repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. iMos Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. And I want to mention also that the folks at Wild Birds Unlimited, you know, feed the birds. They make them happy this spring. A lot of them are nesting. And your friends at Wild Birds Unlimited in Cary and Raleigh have given us two Tidy Seed cylinders filled with bug, nut, and berries. Yes, sir. Enter and win by clicking on the rotating banner at WPTF.com. Or you can go to our contest page to enter also at WPTF.com. Thanks to the folks at Wild Birds Unlimited. It's 8:46. Gerald, folks are
getting the fever.
They get the fever for tomatoes. And
that Wednesday when it hits 80
something. It's not time to plant.
No, it's too early to plant. I mean,
people are asking you.
But they like to take them home and look at them. That's fine.
So part of my deciding when to set up at the market, I can handle possible frost there because, you know, we got a shelter. And even though I set up some carts outside the shelter, it's pretty easy to roll them back under the shelter. What I can't deal with is freeze, in particular 30 degrees or colder. So I've been looking at four different weather forecasts for the 15-day forecast. And right now, 15 days out, next Thursday and Friday night, I think one is 37 and one is 36. That looks to be the coldest night. Now, as is typical, that'll be fine. And then somewhere about the first week in April, we're subject to have one of those. But yeah, I just can't imagine planting a tomato in March. Now, I have planted them the first week of April, and I have covered them up two or three times with a bucket or, you know, frost cloth or something like that. I'm not opposed to doing that, but you've got to pay attention to the weather forecasts. And I mean, in the last 3 years, 1 year we had a frost on April 17th, and 1 year we had a frost on April 18th. And, you know, everyone will tell you, we won't never have one after the 15th of April, and that's two of the last 3 years.
The average one.
So, I mean, I tell people when you plant, you pay attention until at least April 20th or so on what the weather's going to be. And if you're in no rush, you can wait to then to plant your first ones. But some people got to, you know, got the fever, and I can't say anything about them because I am one of them myself.
It's like looking forward to Christmas.
That's right.
You get the Christmas spirit. You get the tomato spirit.
And your mind tells you the sooner I plant it, the sooner I'm going to have me a good tomato. Even though sometimes you may not gain that much planting them 2 weeks earlier if we're having. Tomatoes do not like it but below really 60 degrees. And they'll sit there and pout and not do a lot of growing until they finally get some warm nighttime temperatures. And then they'll really take off.
Yeah. Well, Rufus, what is your story with tomatoes?
My story
is how much are you yearning?
That I've tried every tech, everything known to mankind. Little water teepees, remember those things, Gerald?
Oh, yeah.
I've done everything in the world, buckets, and until the soil warms, as Gerald just said, they're going to sit there and not do anything.
And it's been right cold this year.
We had some winter this year. I can attest to it when I look at the bills for the LP gas today, the greenhouses we had.
Absolutely.
Way different than anything we've had the last 3 years.
Now, I don't think this is a bad time to plant wildflower seeds and things like that.
No, and you're, as I tell people often, I usually after the first of March, I mean, you can put broccoli in the ground now, cabbage you can plant now, you can sow lettuce seed now, carrot seed. I mean, lots of things you can do in the vegetable garden now. You can get your stuff prepared if you only plant, you know, tomatoes or peppers. Probably the biggest, two biggest problems I see is people plant and they don't look at the weather forecast for a week or 10 days out when they plant. And people that plant tomatoes don't put them in an appropriate size container. That when I'm talking to people and they had issues the previous year or previous 2 or 3 years, those are kind of the two things that keep coming back again and again and again, this problem. When I show them what size container I'm used, they're like, I'd put 4 or 5 plants in that. You know, I said, well, I put one in that. So that's just a recurring problem.
Hmm. Well.
And I try to educate people because I want people to have success. And, you know, quite frankly, I feel confident in saying that tomato is the most difficult fruiting plant to grow in this part of the world, period. Yes, our climate is great to grow them in, but that hot, humid climate also is great to develop fungal diseases, and the poor tomato plant is suspect to more diseases than any other vegetable that I can think of. So it's just like a roller coaster trying to dodge them each year, and that's what makes them, it's part of what makes it so enjoyable when you have a good season and get more than you can actually eat and are having to find, you know, someone to give them away. I could do a tomato primer, follow these 25 steps, and some years you still could have mediocre success. That's just how, you know, I guess that's part of the challenge there is about growing them.
So are the small tomatoes, the really small tomatoes, less resistant?
It's not that cherry tomatoes are less resistant. It's that they develop so much faster. So if you planted a 1 foot tall Sun Gold or Sweet Million, a Super Sweet 100 little cherry plant, and you planted a 1 foot tall Cherokee, Purple, Better Boy, German Johnson, whatever, that cherry tomato is going to make 30 days. You'll have a ripe one before you will the other ones. Well, that's 30 less days of dodging diseases. And then two, as a pretty good rule of thumb, the smaller the fruit, the more a plant will make. So you may, a good Sun Gold plant may produce 500 tomatoes. Well, if you had a lousy crop of Sun Golds, you still might have 200 tomatoes. Mm-hmm. You have a lousy crop of Cherokee Purple or German Johnson, you got 4 tomatoes. So that's why I have been surprised at the number of people that only plant cherry tomatoes, and it's not because they're only eating them in salads and want small fruited one. It's because it's what they have the most success with. And I can't tell you how many people have told me, oh, I just don't grow them big beefsteaks anymore because it's like rolling the dice. You don't never know if you're going to get any or not.
Pretty hard to slice those little tomatoes.
I know. That's a real quandary for somebody that loves bacon.
Funniest thing I ever seen in my life, if I ever forget this, the Alzheimer's dementia has got me. My brother Wesley, may he rest in peace, was having a fit for a tomato sandwich one year, and the only thing he had gotten ripe yet was Sun Gold, which are the size of a fat marble. And he took about 20 of them and made a BLT with it, but he didn't slice them in half.
Oh, no.
He put the whole, and every time he picked it up to take a bite, 4 or 5 went flying out of the sandwich.
Between the bacon crumbling and the tomatoes falling out. And
the Duke's mayo wouldn't hold them onto the bread.
Well, he didn't put enough.
It brings a big smile to my face because I laughed at him until I about fell down on the floor. I tried to say, why didn't you cut them in half? Because then you'd have had a flat surface to stick to it. Oh, that'd take too much time, I think is what he said.
Well, he could have left it on the plate and used a fork.
No,
that won't count for a tomato.
That was too much culture for him. So. But yes, that's the two real reasons that people have so much more success with cherry tomatoes. They make quicker. They have an abundant crop, so even if you have a half a crop, you still got a lot of tomatoes. And another thing too, if you're pressed on, do I have enough sun? Do you have 6 to 8 hours of sun? No, I only have 5. Then you're way more likely to have success with a cherry than you are some big, you know, 1-pound slicing
Great thing for patios too, people in apartments.
That's right.
In your pot.
Hmm.
I'm going to say...
Yeah, making me hungry.
I know, I was thinking about the same thing there. Rufus, go ahead, sir.
I'm sort of thinking that a 20-gallon pot
for growing the tall tomato?
Medium to large tomato. Is that about right?
Yeah. Yeah.
25.
That's the smallest I use would be a 20 if I was going to plant that realistically should get 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
And some of your determinate tomatoes that still make nice slicing-sized fruit, they may slow down at 5, 5.5 feet maybe. But I've seen sun goals 8, 9 foot tall before, and it wouldn't be uncommon for a Cherokee Purple to be 6 foot tall or German Johnson taller than that. And it becomes a challenge sometimes to figure out how to support that. But the whole key is keeping that plant where it can thrive to October. Because if you dodge the tomato diseases, and yes, it will slow down blooming in August, and you'll see a healthy plant, see blooms, don't see any fruit because the pollen dries up into bloom because of the heat, so it can't pollinate. Once you get to September, they'll go back to town. But you got to have a plant that's alive to go back to town. And when you plant it in that too small of a pot and it fills that pot up with roots, you can't hardly keep it watered because the compact, all those roots can't take up the water. And that stress it puts on the plant, you can start the countdown clock.
You better learn to water every other day.
All right.
Is it okay to top a tomato?
I generally don't. I want to figure out how to support it. If I cut the tomato off, I may have less tomatoes and I'm a hog.
Well, just don't be a hog. Don't wake up and be a hog this morning, folks. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 8:57. We'll be back.